Bibles, open up to Jude, the book of Jude. It's one chapter. We are going to start going through this book, and I would like to tell you that this morning's message is going to be bright and cheery. But really what this message is going to be this morning is something to warn us as a church. And I pray that we're going to wake up, okay? And we're going to look at where we're at in this world and how relevant what Jude wrote to us is. And so I'm going to read the first five verses, and then I'm going to concentrate mainly on the third verse. All right, so it says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. If you're in here this morning and if you're saved by God's grace and through the blood of Jesus, turn to somebody and say, that's us. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. I hope you want that. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Father, I ask you to come in the name of Jesus this morning. Come by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us see the world we live in, what's going on, and what we can do in the place you've put us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you're following in your outline, your first point, Jude is the son of Mary and Joseph, the brother of James. He's the half-brother of Jesus. I love the way he puts it in the text. He says he's the brother of James. He doesn't say, hey, Jesus is my brother, you see. I think it's an act of humility. I think they didn't believe that much in Jesus when he walked with them. But after he rose from the dead, they realized he really is who he says he is. But now he's writing a letter to the church, and he's seen Jesus. He's rubbed shoulders with him. If we turn back to Matthew, all right, Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, listen to what they said about Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, there's James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, there's Jude, aren't all his sisters with us? Then where did this man get all these things? Great question, huh? The fact is, he's God. So this is the Jude that's writing the letter to us, okay? And he's writing to us. And look at your next point. Jude is writing to the recipients of a very special gift called salvation. You see what he says in verse 3? He says, I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share. Do you realize what a gift you have, church, in salvation? You know, we wake up in the morning and we go about our day, and I wonder, do we even stop and say, Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving me. See, I remember when I was lost. I like being found. Amen. So much better, church. And I think the enemy lulls us to sleep and we take it for granted and we don't understand the treasure that we have. If you're free from your sins, it's an awesome gift. Jude says, I wanted to write to you about salvation. I wanted to give you a lesson in soteriology. I wanted to talk to you about all the great stuff we have, you see. In the second verse, mercy, peace, and love be yours, you see. I wanted to tell you about that. I wanted to highlight it. But then he says, God's compelled me to do something else. What do you treasure? See, what do you treasure, church? We go to Matthew now, chapter 13, all right? And we're going to look at 44 through 46, all right? Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought it. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Have you ever treasured something that's entrusted to you? Do you treasure your relationship with Jesus? I have this picture of my daughter's, my oldest daughter Amy's first birthday. And when every time I see the picture, I think of what I was thinking when the picture was taken. And I was holding her in my arms, and I started to pray because I said, God, I can't be with this kid all the time. See? I can't always be there to protect her. So God, I need your help right now, and you're going to have to watch over her. Because, Lord, she could get hurt, she could get lost, she could get in trouble. It was just a few days later, my wife called all upset, you know. We didn't have cell phones back then. And what she did is she jumped in a running car, headed towards the highway, and she put it in drive without my wife in it. My wife caught up, hit the brake, got it back. But I'm telling you, that'll give you some fear, won't it? Lord, I need your help. She's been entrusted to me, Lord. I need you. God's entrusted something to us. He's giving us something just so precious, church. And we wake up in the morning, we don't even think about it. He says, I wanted to write to you about this salvation. Look at your next point on your outline. Salvation provides mercy, peace, and love in abundance. The world is searching for all those things, but they're going in the wrong way. My wife's been talking to me. She said the Holy Spirit's yelling something to her. I was so happy with our worship today. I didn't talk to Matt, but you know what the Lord's been telling her is, the church is afraid to say the name of Jesus. See, the enemy's put us into this fear mode where, well, if I say that, I might offend somebody. Whew. Get in trouble for this one. Go ahead and offend. Because see, if we don't speak at church, it won't be spoken. We were singing it. See, it's in the name of Jesus. How do I fight my battles? In the name of Jesus. You know what blessed me so much this morning? Is there's a young lady graduating from high school that led us this morning. She's not singing just because she wants to sing. She's singing because that's how she fights with Jesus. Do we treasure Him? Do we treasure the salvation that's been handed down to us and entrusted to us? If you're following in your outline, Jude reminds his readers that they must fight to keep what has been handed down to them. You see what he says here in verse 3, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people." When was the last time that you realized that this message, you see, if you choose to go through the Gospel of Mark with Francis Chan, this is what you saw last week in his little video. The videos are short. They're at the most 15 minutes. But this is what he says when it starts out in the Gospel of Mark, and it says, you know, I'm writing to you about the good news or the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, could you imagine what it would be like to meet Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh? The good news. Do you realize you have good news? I'm telling you, if you tune into the news today, you don't get much of it, do you? He says, could you imagine what it's like? And see, we have been entrusted with something, church, that has been handed down to us. And God says, I trust you with this message. We follow in the outline, chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. You all know the parable, you see, of the talents. All right, so chapter 25, verses 14 and 15. I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. Do you see what it says? It says he entrusted to them. I love this part of the text because it really sings to us in the country and the culture that we're in. He entrusted his gold to them. 5 bags, 2 bags, 1 bag. If you were asked this morning, church, what would you take? A bag of gold? 5 bags of gold? Or Jesus? What would you choose? Go uptown and ask that question. If you compute what the gold is worth, I'm betting the 90th percentile will take the gold. If you know the parable, move down to verse 20. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5, and the master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. Skip down to verse 22. The man who had 2 bags of gold also said, master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. What'd they do with what the master entrusted to them? They multiplied it. They did something with it. And his answer to both of them, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. I fear that the church too often is in the place of that guy who got 1 bag of gold. And he said, oh, master, I know that you're strict, man. You reap where you don't sow. You are a hard taskmaster. And so he said, I took it and I buried it in the ground. I think a lot of what the church has received today, we've buried, haven't we? We're just trying to hang on to it till Jesus comes back. I don't mind telling you this morning, I'm tired of hanging on. I want to take some ground back. I want to get some more bags, okay? He's given us such a treasure, church. And he says to that man with the 1 bag that buried it in the ground, he said, you should have at least put it in a bank so I got interest. And he said, you wicked servant. What would he say to the church today? Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on this earth? I don't think he's talking to the heathens. I think he's talking to the church. What am I going to find when I come back? Luke chapter 12, verse 48. The one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. But from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. See, church, God has given us so much.
Jesus has taken away my sins. I wake up in the morning. I don't have guilt. I don't have shame because I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We were singing it. This is how I fight my battles. It starts out by the bread and by the cup, you see, and we celebrate Jesus' death, don't we? And it's our forgiveness. It's been handed down to us, church. What are we going to do with it? See, much has been given to us. What are we going to do with it? What are we doing with it? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Kind of just moving through as they came in order as I was looking these up. Chapter 4 and verse 1. This is how you ought to regard us. This is the Apostle Paul. I wonder if you went uptown and if you took a microphone and you said to people and you recorded it, and you said, how do you regard Apostle Paul? Woo! Would we get some answers? This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. As a church, do we realize the mysteries that God has revealed to us? That you can be a dirty, low-down, rotten sinner, and you can call on the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come, and you will be forgiven of all your past. And you won't just be forgiven, you will be cleansed from unrighteousness. And you can be free before a holy God. And you can be called into His kingdom. Paul says, this is how you should regard us. We have been entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Do you know that you have mysteries from God that He's revealed to you that you can give to other people? The greatest thing is salvation. When you meet somebody on their deathbed and you say, do you know what's going to happen to you when you take your last breath here? You know, hands down, the first answer you get is, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Hope is good. And then you can say, do you want to know? 1 John 5:11 and following, see? These things have been written so that you may know you have eternal life. Not that you hope you have eternal life, but John says so that you know that you have eternal life. It's a treasure. How do we regard us? We have the mysteries of God. You and I have the key to unlock all these troubles in the world. What are we going to do with them? Well, you know, my faith is private because, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. The world has the church running scared. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. On the contrary, I love how this works out, you see. So what are you doing, church? Well, I'm a little bit worried, you know. If I share too much, I could get fired, or this could happen, or that could happen. I might at least get written up. One of the best old mentors and friends that I ever had was in the hospital, and he was dying, and my wife was working in the hospital. And so she went up to his room. She went up to his room, and she asked him if he knew where he was going to go if he died, and he said no. And she said, do you want to know? And he said, yes. And she prayed a prayer of salvation with him, and he passed from death to life. And when she went to work the next day, someone from the family went and complained, and she got written up. And I love this. They took a look at the time clock, and they said, they're sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. She clocked out. It was on her own time. We can't fire her for that. Isn't it interesting how God can take care of you? On the contrary, instead of going home and forgetting about a soul, on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts.
Would we pass the test today, church? We don't speak to please people. And I'm here to tell you, all over the world this morning, pastors are getting up hoping that the people they're talking to will like what they say. And God says it's not a matter if they like it, it's a matter if they wind up in heaven or hell. And He's entrusted it to us, and He's handed the gospel down to us, and He's given us the message that brings life. He's given us light that will expel darkness. Are we going to please people or do what God says? I love Peter and John, you know, when they said to the Sanhedrin, you know, what should we do? Should we do what you guys say, or should we please God? And they said, I think we'll go with God. Is that okay? And they were said, just stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Do you hear what they said? You can find it in the Acts. I believe it's in Acts chapter 4. It's in 3 or 4. It's probably in 3 when the lame limbs leaped, you know. And they took him to task. Who are we going to please? I want to please God. I want to please God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Whew. See, guard what has been entrusted. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren, tell your neighbors. Everybody you run into, don't be afraid to tell them. Because God's entrusted you with this amazing gift. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, again the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When you're taken before the judge, don't worry about what you're going to say, Jesus says, because it won't be you speaking. It will be my Father in heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit coming through. The Holy Spirit says, hey, Jesus, how should he answer? And then the Spirit says to us, answer like this. But the world and education, all these things, they go, well, you don't quite know enough to be able, you see, to witness. Yes, you do. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, then the Father is going to give you the words to say when they haul you before the judge. And you know what? The judge is going to wind up going, wow, didn't expect that answer. And we're going to take what's entrusted to us and we're going to ooze out into this world, church. We're going to ooze out into the world and we're going to start to take back ground, you see. And we're going to speak lovingly. We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Look at your next point. The church must protect and proclaim the gospel. The good news has been entrusted to us. We must protect and proclaim the gospel. I'm going to quote Matt from when he taught through the book of Jude in one Sunday. It's going to take us a lot more Sundays to get through it this time. We need to ask ourselves, how precious is the truth of the gospel to us? What are we willing to do to defend the honor of our Lord when truth is attacked? Wow. Are you willing to be embarrassed? I've been unbraided by family members. I've been told, how dare you? You know, how dare you say that sin is wrong?
And in that time, I was going, God, what should I say? What should I do? I love this person. I respect this person. They're my elder. What should I do? You know, they're older than I am in my family. And he said, just tell them if I rose from the dead, you're right. If I didn't rise from the dead, they're wrong. And you know what? I said it. And you know what happened? It ended the conversation. And we parted in peace. It was just that simple. If Jesus rose from the dead, then his word is true. If he didn't rise from the dead, his word is not true. So if Jesus is still in the grave and he never rose from the dead, what you're telling me is okay. Otherwise, you're in a heap of trouble. You see, what are we willing to do, church? Last point, can you believe it? I knew how cheery this was going to be, so I made it short. Jude recognized the danger of losing the treasure. We're going back to Matthew chapter 7. Jude recognized the danger of losing the treasure. Jesus says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Here's the pearl. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. Why? He says, if you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, church, I'm here, and I have this constant battle in my mind and in my life because I'm trying to say I want to preach the gospel, I want to stay away from politics, and you know what? I can't do it because it's part of my life. It's part of your life. We live in a world where they want to legislate that sin is okay. And then they go, oh, no, separation of church and state. You've got to keep that apart. No, you can't keep it apart. It's part of our life. It's part of our nation. God judges nations. And what I see going on is right now they're turning on the Christians and they want to attack us and they want to tear us to pieces so that we will let go of the treasure that God has given us. And they want to silence us and they want to keep us quiet. Because we're messing with their life of sin. We're messing with their lucrative business. In church, we can't separate this. I'm telling you, Thursday I was beside myself. Thank God for my staff who straightened me out. You know, I read a headline in a paper that said the pastor prayed, the president came to his church, and the pastor prayed for him, and then the headline said, pastor apologizes for praying for for President Trump. And I was like, no! But then, here's the real story, though. He didn't apologize for praying for the president. He quoted scripture to his congregation and said, this is why we pray for the president, because it says pray for those in authority. But see, if it said the pastor explained himself using scripture saying he was obeying God, that's not much of a headline and it won't sell much, will it? But if you can say that he apologized because he prayed for the president? Come on, church, how far are we going to fall? It just breaks your heart to see how far away we're getting from the truth. In Erwin Lutzer's book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. You know what that means? That means Christianity in the shadow of Islam. Can I just see? And this is what he says. He says in Turkey, remember the churches in the book of Revelation that were written to by John? He says in Turkey there's hardly a trace of those churches left. Because Islam has tried to erase the cross. They want to get rid of everything that would depict our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another thing he says in that book is, he says, you can't coexist together. Not because of Christianity, because you either convert their way or you're a slave or you pay a high tax or you die. Is everybody listening to me? We support missionaries who had to move out of Turkey because it's illegal to be a Christian there and to witness. I don't know where you're at, church, but you're sitting in here this morning going, man, am I glad I'm in the United States of America. And this is what I want to tell you. You are an eyelash away from being in that spot. We are a blink of an eye away. And I wonder if anybody sees it or hears it. And I'm going to say this because I believe God told me, we are like a lobster sitting in water and they're lighting the fire and we don't realize the chef's coming with the cleaver. And it's just happening. Cities are being taken over. As long as I'm getting into trouble, I'll get into a little bit more. The whole immigration thing, I don't believe it's about anything we hear on the news. You know what's going on? From a godly perspective, if you open your borders to everyone and everybody who believes so many different things than we believe, it will begin to take over your nation. It's the reason I can't move into Turkey, because they know if they let me in there and I start preaching the gospel, it will start making headway and it will begin to take over. Is everybody listening? You know what's happened to our nation? Everybody and everything's coming in and it is taking over. And church, it's time to wake up. So now, the words of my beloved friend, but what can I do about this? What can I do? The first thing you can do is you can pray. Get on your knees and pray every single day for this nation. Pray for our president. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Republicans and Democrats that are in power. Pray for mutual consent that they could come together and agree on what's best for our nation. Are you all listening to me? Tell everybody you know about Jesus. Don't be ashamed. If you're a parent, teach your children the gospel. Teach them the gospel. My grandchildren know the gospel. My first grandson, when he was born, I went to the hospital. First thing I spoke to was Jesus. I held him. I said, gotta know Jesus, buddy. You gotta know him. Are we teaching our children? It's so important, because the education out there is going to try to take Jesus out of their life and replace him with stuff. Don't do it. Tell them about our Lord and Savior Jesus. Teach him. Read scripture. Have devotions. Eat, drink, and sleep our Lord and Savior, because this is how we fight our battles in the name of Jesus. Obey God. Obey God. Do what He says. See, churches try to please people so they can stay alive, because they need the offering. Is everybody listening to me? You can tell how popular this message is. Man, this is going to make everybody happy today, isn't it? But if we do God's bidding, God will take care of us. But fear of people, fear of survival, we can't let it take over, all right? The message has been entrusted to us. It's been entrusted to us. Let's hand it down. Let's hold fast to it. Let's stand on the rock. Let's be immovable, all right? And since this was such an uplifting message, we're going to the last two verses in Jude, because I want to end here, because I want to give you hope, church. We win the battle. Do you know that? The gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. But please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We are an eyelash away in the United States of America of being persecuted for loving Jesus. Get Franklin Graham's newsletters. Read what he's saying. He's calling out to the church in the United States of America saying, wake up and begin to pray and do battle, because he says, we are only a moment away from big trouble. Let's look on the bright side. Can we do it just for a moment? Two verses we get today. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Pray with me. Father, Lord Jesus, we love you. You are the most precious treasure. You are the pearl of great price. You're the field that we sold everything and bought. Father, in the name of Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit on us this morning. Take away all our fear. Give us knowledge and wisdom, Lord Jesus. Give us love. We're not going to win this, Father, with weapons. We're going to win it with the power of the gospel, with the word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, help us to love like you loved. Lord, empower your church this morning. Give us hope. Pick us up, Lord Jesus. But Lord, help us to understand we have been entrusted with the most precious gift called salvation, with the most precious Savior named Jesus. And Lord, the hope for our nation is in Jesus. It's in the redemption through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will keep this nation. And if we fall away, the same thing that happened to Israel will happen to the United States of Israel. They will be punished. So, Father, I ask you to speak to each and every one of us this morning. What do you want us to do? Who do you want us to speak to? And then, Father, empower your church. Bring it back. Lord, start with Walworth County. Win this county, Lord Jesus. Use us to win this county. And then, Lord, we want the whole state and the whole nation, Father God. So, Father, take your word this morning. Let it accomplish in each of us what you've sent it to do. But help us, Father, to take what you've entrusted to us and to help it to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to love and to serve our God with what's been entrusted to us. Amen.